Well, friends in Christ, our scripture reading for this morning reflects the biblical teaching that God creates a universe that is both visible and invisible. It's in our creeds, it's reflected throughout the Bible, and I believe that if we think in those terms this morning, the terms of we live in a world, we are people who are both visible and invisible, those terms can help us experience the Lord working in a powerful way in our midst this morning. And to prompt our thinking in those terms, visible and invisible world, world of spirits, world of flesh, we can begin by pondering both the visible and the invisible worlds as they are part of our own lives. So here we go, just to get us thinking. Now, visibly, as I look at you, every single person here, it looks like you're doing okay. And in fact, I trust that in many ways, you're not only doing your okay, you're doing more than okay. I know many of you well enough already by now that you've got the health and strength to come to worship. You have good activities during the week, good relationships in your life. In terms of our passage, you have spiritual gifts. Gifts such as wisdom and knowledge. In fact, sometimes we have these gifts for so long and so thoroughly, we can almost take them for granted and not think of them in terms of the spiritual gifts that they are. So visibly, there's much to celebrate, and invisibly, there's much to celebrate and give thanks for too. At the same time, every single human being, and that means every single person here, every person lives with what some writers call a great sadness. And that great sadness is almost always invisible. It's largely hidden. Every single human being suffers rejection and loss. That is just part of how we go through life. We don't always show it, but it's there. Many people experience betrayal. All of us experience failure. And so again, we could go on and on with these realities, largely invisible, that are part of each one of our lives. And as a matter of fact, we could expand them into our communal lives. Every household can feel absolutely overwhelmed sometimes, even when it looks like they're doing fine. Every community can feel besieged. And the gospel today proclaims that from the invisible realm of the spiritual world, the triune God comes to us and helps us. And the triune God helps us specifically, our passage says, by giving each one of us gifts from the Holy Spirit. And these gifts empower us to work for the common good, to spread the common good in a way that overcomes even great sadness with joy and peace from the Lord. So let's take a modest example just to get us started. Let's say I were up here and I confessed to feeling totally confused. Can you imagine that? Well, this can happen, believe me. So let's say I don't know what direction to go in my life. I just don't know where I'm supposed to go, what's going on. I don't know how to do some things. If I were in that situation of affliction, if that were burdening me in this congregation, I could find several people, many, who could give me a message of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we don't even have a specific message or word of knowledge that God could make known to me through you. And these are gifts of the Spirit. So someone might come up to me and say, listen, Joel, whichever direction you go, it'll be okay, all right? You know, just have some faith. God will be with you. That could empower me. Or someone might have some specific knowledge and say, Joel, I know that if you go in this way, it's going to be a disaster, believe me. I know what I'm talking about, but if you follow this way, you'll flourish. As a matter of fact, it'll probably be a healing experience for you and for many others. that could happen. That does happen in our congregational life. We can be sources of knowledge and wisdom for each other. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. From our scripture reading, what we know is that these are gifts of the Spirit, and we can manifest them in everyday ways, but we can also manifest the gifts of the Spirit in life and death ways. And I think we can be grateful for that. As members of the body of Christ, as members of the body of Christ, right here at Covenant, Jesus gives us gifts from the Holy Spirit that can defeat the evil one and that can help us share in the victories of God. And to help us envision what that could look like, what it does look like in our lives, let me just pass on for our reflection a fairly extended scene from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. In Luke 10, Jesus has begun his final journey to Jerusalem, where he's going to go through the cross and the resurrection to bring salvation to the world. And as part of that saving work, Jesus commissions either 70 or 72, the texts differ just a little bit, but he commissions this group of 70 or 72 to participate in his saving work. He says, I'm going to send you out like lambs in the midst of wolves, and I'm not going to give you any money. But Jesus says, you've got a mission. It's a mission of peace. And he says, I'm going to give you authority. That's an important New Testament word, authority. The Greek is exousia. It's a rightful use of spiritual power from God. And so Jesus says to a group of 70, Jesus says to a congregation like this, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you exousia, so that you can bring peace to households, and so that you can bring healing to the sick, so that you can act in a way that reveals the kingdom of God right in our midst. So the 70 or 72 receive this commission from Jesus. They go out, they visit all kinds of households, and they return to Jesus with almost ecstatic joy. They say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus joins the celebration. He says, well, I saw Satan fall from heaven as you were doing this work. And it's sort of like a Holy Ghost revival breaks out in Luke chapter 10. They're all just celebrating. Jesus is almost jumping for joy regarding the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing peace, bringing healing, bringing the kingdom, the presence of God into human lives and human households. Now, what 1 Corinthians 12 says, that if that kind of mission in Luke 10 seems a little bit distant from us, you know, maybe we've never gone out in that kind of itinerant mission. If it feels a little bit distant, it's really not all that distant, because the very same Holy Spirit that Jesus passed on in Luke 10, Jesus passes on also in 1 Corinthians 12, and through this passage, he communicates to us gifts by which we can participate in the saving work of Jesus. The one Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The one Lord Jesus empowers us to participate in his saving mission of peace. The one triune God works through congregations like the congregation in Corinth and like the congregation right here at Covenant Christian Reformed Church. And to envision what those gifts might look like in our congregation, I'm going to pass on a story about another Christian Reformed congregation. It's not superior at all, but it has a story to it that I think can help us think about the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit in a biblical way. Because when we get into any stream of spirituality, the stream that looks at the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, that's called the charismatic stream, that stream can go wrong just like any other stream. So I think this story from Madison Avenue Christian Reformed Church in Paterson, New Jersey, can help us. When I lived near Philadelphia, I worked nearby to the pastor there, about 2 hours away from the pastor there, John Algora. And he wrote a book called Signs and Wonders, because he and his congregation decided in a pretty distinct way to explore the charismatic stream of spirituality, to explore the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And towards the beginning of that very conscious and deliberate exploration, a child, an infant girl, in their congregation became sick. And the congregation prayed with faith. They prayed faithfully. They called on the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so sad to say that the little girl died. And so there was that loss and then this shaking of the congregation, because some of them wondered, what happened? Didn't we have faith? I mean, there are these passages that say everything is possible to those who believe. Jesus makes promises like that. So why didn't it work for us? Is there some lack of faith? Is there some sin in us? And those are important, I think, even unavoidable questions that arise when we want to pray boldly, to pray for works of wonders, to pray for signs and wonders. And I pass on that sad story because, as I say, I think it helps us avoid ways in which the charismatic stream, which is so important, so life-giving, we can avoid ways in which it goes wrong, and we can jump into ways in which it really can go right in a powerful way. So to get the wrong view out of the way, let me just say that the charismatic stream can go wrong when people start to sound like Job's friends. Remember, Job's friends came to him and they said, if you're suffering, you must have sinned in some particular way. You must have done something wrong. And that version can happen, that people say, well, if you're not healed, if your prayer isn't answered, you must not have faith. You must have sinned. I had a colleague at Eastern University in near Philadelphia who was in a wheelchair as a teenager. And a fellow student came to him and said, I've got faith, you have faith, let's pray for you to be healed. He wheeled him out to a part of the churchyard, or to the school lawn, and he said, let's pray for healing. My friend Dwight could not get out of his wheelchair. The young man just left him there by himself and said, you've got no faith, and he left. You know, this stream of spirituality, like they all, can go wrong. So what happens then? What do we discern if we pray for someone to be healed and they're not? Or if we pray for a reconciliation or some other miracle and it doesn't happen? What do we make of that? And I think what the gospel does, what Jesus does, is calls us to view these disappointments, to view these sad events and say, can these help us be alert to how the power and the wisdom of God can come to us in ways different from how we expect? The power and the wisdom from God comes to us in ways that are summed up in the cross as well as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let me explore just a little bit about how that kind of power and wisdom, that cross as well as resurrection, worked out at Madison Avenue Christian Reformed Church, how I think it worked out at the church at Corinth in relation to Paul, and that'll help us be into the Spirit here at Covenant. When we go to Madison Avenue, the gospel that shines out there is that as those members join together, not only in prayers for healing, but when they join together also in grief and in mutual consolation, in those practices of consoling one another and blessing the mourning family, that was the Holy Spirit filling them with the most excellent gift of all, which you know from 1 Corinthians 13 is the gift of love. And that most excellent gift of love, that's the consistent way in which the Holy Spirit fills congregations with the power of God, the wisdom of God that we see in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, please know that when I hold up love as the most excellent gift, I don't want to detract from the other gifts. A gift of strong faith, a gift of healing. I've seen people pray for healing and receive it. I've done some reading on miraculous cures, and these things do happen. These signs and wonders are gifts from God. They're evidence of the Spirit, and they're ways that can call us at Covenant here to pray boldly and expectantly for God to do wonderful things. But having said that, I also want to testify that Christian communities, in my experience, they are never stronger then with the most excellent gift of love, they console people and sustain people through their suffering. Christian communities reflect the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit when they bless the poor in spirit and make the kingdom of grace available to them, when they bless those who mourn with a comfort from God, because that is an embodiment of the most powerful power of God, the power of suffering love that we see in Jesus Christ, taking him to the cross and then leading to his resurrection and eternal life. So how did that happen at Madison Avenue CRC? Again, they showed love to a mourning family, but that was also part of a really strong communal love. What happened at Madison Avenue was quite remarkable in that when it was founded by almost completely ethnically Dutch people in a largely Dutch neighborhood. The neighborhood changed to almost completely African American, and the congregation didn't pick up and leave. They didn't just bow down and die. They became a congregation that could embody communal love in a way that welcomed African Americans, and now their congregation is largely African American, and John Alger is kind of a hero of mine because he led them through that transition for about 30 years. And to me, that is a remarkable sign and wonder. That is a miracle. That is a testimony to the power of Jesus Christ. To have the power of Jesus Christ take the form of true enduring community, of racial reconciliation, of a long obedience in the same direction. Those are beautiful manifestations of the Holy Spirit for the common good. They're not glamorous, but they reveal the power of God in a remarkably Christ-like way. And I think they also fit the larger message of Luke 10 as well as 1 Corinthians 12. So go back to that scene in Luke 10. Remember, the spirits have been subject to the Lord. The disciples are joyful. Jesus is saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Jesus is affirming the miracles. But then he says, nevertheless, Jesus says, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in the miracles of spirits being subject to you. But rejoice, Jesus says, that your names are written in heaven. In other words, rejoice that you are part of the community of eternal life that will live forever. With those words, Jesus says, as wonderful as miracles are, they're temporary. When people get healed, when people even get raised from the dead, they still die. Miracles are temporary. And that's why the greater joy comes from the ultimate salvation of eternal life that begins even now, because the essence of eternal life is this love that abides forever. The essence of eternal life is sharing in the love that is the absolute essence of the triune God who gives us these gifts, because God is love. So obvious, right? That is the most excellent gift. And there are some good Bible teachers who say that very persuasively that Paul received that most excellent gift in a special way through his work, which was very difficult work, with the church in Corinth. As Paul worked with the church in Corinth, he experienced not just the Damascus Road conversion, but he experienced what you could call a second conversion or a lifelong conversion towards Christ-likeness in dealing with this community. See, as he dealt with the church in Corinth, Paul dealt with theological fights that were pulling apart the body of Christ. Paul dealt with domestic sadness that was breaking hearts. Paul dealt with lawsuits, with worship wars, with heresies, with personal attacks, and more. And through those experiences, the Holy Spirit worked a love in Paul that made him more and more like Jesus Christ. This is a common image, but it's true in Paul's case. I think it's a way. The Lord took Paul's broken heart in relation to Corinth, and he knit it back together as an expanded heart, more and more filled with the love of Jesus Christ. So, for example, one Bible teacher, I think, had a good point. He said, if because of his work in Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote only one chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, he would still be a giant who transformed human history. That's how powerful that chapter is. I agree with that. And what I think is that as members of the body of Christ, as we share the gifts of the Spirit, as we know that without love, all those gifts are nothing, that is the way we can make the most difference. That is the way we can have an ongoing, lifelong conversion to more and more being like Jesus Christ. If we connect our gifts to the love that empowers them to make a difference. So in 2 weeks, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and that celebration of love. In the meantime, let's just think about gifts that we can connect to love and think about how they can come in a humble way, but a way that can make a huge difference when they're connected with love. And I just to help us think and ponder, Micah, let's have the picture. I thought about this image because this is a painting by Picasso, many of you may know. It's called The Old Guitarist, but it seemed to have possibly inspired a poem by Wallace Stevens called The Man with the Blue Guitar. And just to be non-poetic, what I'd like you to do is think about, and it's a blue painting, even though it's not a blue guitar, but think about the poem and the painting, The Man with the Blue Guitar, and realize that God gives us these unusual gifts that are like a blue guitar, in which through the grace and love of Christ, we can actually make a difference. So let me just read a couple lines from the poem. I put them on Facebook earlier. Wallace Stevens writes this. The man bent over his guitar, a shearsman of sorts, the day was green. They said, you have a blue guitar. You do not play things as they are. The man replied, things as they are changed upon the blue guitar. And I think the message here is that God can actually change the world. God can actually change lives when he gives us these seemingly humble gifts and connects them to love by which we can have a grace actually to help one another. The Lord gives us gifts which, empowered by love, can make the ultimate difference in the world that God loves and is working to save. Let's join in a prayer. We'll pray for the Spirit. Triune God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we confess that Jesus is Lord, the ruler of all things visible and invisible. And we pray for the gifts of the Spirit by which we can embody Jesus Christ to the world you love. So, Savior God, we pray for wisdom and for knowledge and for faith and for healing. We pray for power and for prophecy. We pray for a personal prayer language and the gift of interpreting those experiences to others. And above all, we pray for the most excellent gift, the perfect love we have so freely received in Jesus Christ, in which we long to embody. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's pray for the Spirit further by singing Spirit of the Living God. Let's rise to sing.